All right, everybody, back to another episode of Crossroads of Liberty.
So today we're going to be talking about the broad topic of police brutality. Joey or James, who wants to lead on that?
I guess I could start. I guess I would start by saying we have a guest to introduce.
Oh shit! Yeah, we do.
Do you want to introduce him at the start? Sure. No, go for it.
Well, I should say a longtime member of the gang.
Yeah, true. Very famous person.
I'm Jonathan. I was added into the New Jersey group chat, but I'm actually from Ireland. I'm an agorist. And, yeah.
You want to say something about Guinness or something? You know, something like that?
Really quick? He hates it.
Guinness is for fucking Dublin people.
Alright, thank you. Word.
What do you guys, what do you drink?
Yes. Murphy's or Beamish.
I'll have to give them a go sometime. But basically, I wanted to start this off by saying that we do plan on doing a much longer three-part series on a couple things. I'd like to do a three-part series on gun laws, three-part series on drug laws, three-part series on police. Where it started, the current problems we have, and then ways that we could fix it, and what society could look like without them. But due to everything going on right now, between the riots, the protests, there's a lot. There's also a lot more people that I've never known to have any question for police, any question for authority. If you even question anything about the police, they're the kinds that like snap at you and they're like, "Well, they're here to protect us. It's their job." And if you leave them alone, if you do the right thing, they won't touch you and all that shit, which isn't true. So basically, due to all that's been going on, I felt that this would be a good time to at least throw in a little bit of our two cents, kind of the fact that libertarians and anarchists, since so many people are kind of waking up to the of government policing, just police brutality is a specific issue. I'm trying to use this time for us to kind of bring people over to the ideas of libertarianism, because we've been like the problems with the police state, and the party was founded back in the 70s, whereas Democrats and Republicans were, not only did they never voice an issue with police brutality, but their policies are directly connected to the increase of police brutality. I mean, you had the war on drugs founded, which was already a problem, and then you had Ronald Reagan come in, where he used the CIA to fight back in inner cities at the same time that he was ramping up the drug war. So you have government selling drugs to people, and then as soon as they buy the drugs, arresting them, and then making money off of them being imprisoned, and making money off of them because they bought the drugs, and they use that to fight Iran-Contra, Zimbabwe, and kill squads, and all this crazy stuff. But anyway, you had that, and then as it developed, you have crackdown, you had Bill Clinton, who passed his bill, but I think it was 100,000 police officers in the high-crime cities.
Yeah.
But he also was big on, because everyone says, it's only the Republicans, or it's only the Democrats. No, it's both. Both passed laws that every race, but a lot of laws have specifically targeted minority groups. Some, like a woman's name is slipping my mind right now, but for one example, the founder of Planned Parenthood, genocide, and she openly said multiple times that the goal was to make Planned Parenthood as popular as possible in inner cities, so Black women would get as many abortions as they could to curb the population. That's a direct quote from the founder of Planned Parenthood. So Planned Parenthood had really racist origins to cut down the Black population and increase the white population through eugenics. You had the New Society passed, or the Great Society, sorry, passed DJ, that was the welfare state that incentivized people to have children wedlock without a father. Previous to the Great Society, single motherhood rate was at like 20 something percent. After current society pass, it's like current day, it's over 70%. Now, I mean, I sort of grew up in 2 one-parent homes for a while, and I probably had a couple issues, but I was able to get past them. Statistically, kids that come single-parent homes are likely end up in prison. They're more likely to have low than end up in poverty. There's many statistical non-outliers, like statistical that show that a single-parent child is going to grow up to be disadvantaged as compared to a two-parent child. Now, when you have 70% of a community as single-parent, you could see that those probabilities are going to be pretty ratcheted up, along with all the other systemic things like redlining, which was targeted towards minorities from, and then the banks took it up. It's just gone on and on. And since what this results is a lot of these things like motherhood and poverty and state, and it ends with a cycle of crime. And as that cycle of crime increases, mainstream are acceptable. And then when there's even more crime, you send in more. When there's more police, people to keep doing what they would do, they end up getting more violent with their crime by the police. And then that sends police. And then there's more. And there's more police. It's a constant feedback loop that just doesn't go well. And it's a serious problem in a lot of these communities. And with the recent video of George Floyd being killed, I've never seen this many people be focused on whether it's police reform, abolition, or defunding, or whatever people want. I've never seen somebody be agreed that a cop killing was wrong, because there were even like white supremacists being like, yeah, George Floyd was, that's not okay. And they're always the ones that are like, well, what's the context? Where's the rest of the video? What did he do in his past? But this time, everyone was in agreement. Like, no, man was murdered by the gun. Straight up, not even a question. And people that always question it were on board. And I know people personally who are very police people. And even they are taking the we need serious reform path. Some for the abolition, most of them are Democrats going funding, but they don't realize that short term it could end up increasing crime, since no one is on that's going to cause the issues. But out in the suburbs where there's guns at every house, I don't see getting rid of the police as much of an issue. And then even if we abolish state police, that doesn't mean no security. This is one of the things I was trying to explain to someone here today who was saying, oh, well, who do you call breaks into your house? Which, first off, it takes cops about, on average, it takes them half an hour. It takes them half an hour to reach your house on average. So you end up with the person already killing you or stealing what they're going to steal and getting away. And they get there in time to outline you in chalk and write some stuff on a piece of paper. Whereas if you're armed, you greatly increase your chance of being okay. And armed neighborhoods, like neighborhoods as a whole that are known to be armed, also have a much less chance of being broken into. There was one neighborhood, I always forget the state. I got to find this news story again. But the mayor mandated that every house have a rifle in the home because robberies were spiking. And like the first month after mandating that every house had a gun in it, robberies fell, or like burglaries fell by like 82%. Just a drastic drop. This happens everywhere. It's 3 out of 5. This was a survey done. 3 out of 5 convicted felons said they would not mess with an armed victim. That means that if everyone was armed, right away, violent crimes would drop by 60%, because those people wouldn't mess with an armed victim. So that's 60%. That's a pretty large margin. And then not even to Not even to mention that if you look at where most of this violent crime came from, it comes from gangs. Gangs make up like 80% of gun deaths, I think. That number could be off by a little bit, but I'm pretty sure that it's pretty close to like 60-80% of gun deaths are from gangs. And gangs, just like how Al Capone came out of the Prohibition era, every gang that is a violent gang now came to be due to the war on drugs, because drugs became a big money market. And the harder you go on drugs, the more money you can charge for them. The more money you can charge for them, the more of an incentive you give nefarious people to get into that market. And people know this, but they don't quite want to fix it. Because I was talking to a guy about this, saying that the typical case that I think we should legalize all drugs, or at minimum decriminalize them, but I think we should completely legalize everything. Drugs should be as easy to produce, buy, and sell as food that you'd grow in your garden. Yeah. And so I was telling him that, and he was like, well, that's not going to get rid of the cartels. All you're going to do is push these cartel leaders into legitimate businesses. And I was like, is that a bad thing? Because these cartels are violent gangs killing people by the hundreds, if not thousands, every year. And if a cartel owner just opens a dispensary and is peacefully selling a product, is that like, I don't see the problem there. I don't see how that's an issue.
Yeah. I get what you mean.
It removes the, I guess, it removes the red market appeal to drugs, and more to selling drugs.
It keeps it in the gray market. If it's if it's legitimately sold, it brings it into the white market. And if you notice, most white market things that are sold, there's no cartels killing each other. There are no cartels, like there's no Garnier Fructis cartel killing Head and Shoulders members.
Not
a thing. Well, yeah, true. I mean, we don't know what NCAP is saying, but at the current moment, that's not really something that happened.
Yeah. Yeah, right. If we legalize drugs, most of the drug-related deaths would, drug-related gun shootings would stop. Some of them would continue, but most of them would stop, because most of it's just related to, you know, just like being able to sell the drugs in the location. And if you legalize that, you can't exactly like stop people from selling in one place.
And then another great thing, like if you look at the overdose rate in Portugal, which is the one and only example we have of a country completely legalizing / decriminalizing every single drug in the market, overdoses dropped like off the charts, like overnight. It was ridiculous. The overdose rates dropped over the course of 10 years. Drug use was cut in half % by legalizing and decriminalizing. So it's clearly, and then also people are like, well, if you legalize it, everyone's just going to do heroin. I don't know if you know this, but heroin is currently illegal, and there's a pretty bad epidemic going on. So I really don't think that having the largest government on earth is a deterrent from people buying and consuming a substance. Yeah. And another, I also, the strongest points for legalization, one of the reasons that you bring down overdoses when you legalize is if legitimate companies get into the game, there's much more accountability. Like if I just give some dude on the street some heroin and I put like 40% of its fentanyl so I can save money, and that dude dies, nothing's gonna happen. Let's say I'm ShopRite and I sell a product, and it turns out it's much different and much more lethal than advertised. I'm gonna have to deal with lawsuits, I'm gonna deal with boycotts, with protests. there's so much more accountability in the private market, like the legal private market, the white market, than you have in the gray or the black market, where the black market, you're either buying from some shady dude on the street and all you have is a phone number, and it could be a burner phone, it probably is. And in the black market, you're probably going to be buying it from some dude offline who just sends it to your house. And unless you have a test kit, which I'm not recommending anyone buy drugs, but if you do buy anything off the dark web, please get a test kit because it can save your life. I know my people that have bought stuff off the dark web and use a test kit. Luckily, none of them ever had anything tainted because they did their research. But just in case any of you guys, the 50 listeners we have, if any of you guys decide that you're going to buy some drugs off the dark web, please buy a test kit. It could save your life. And that was one of the great things about the Silk Road, is the Silk Road brought white market accountability to the black market. And Ross Ulbricht, the founder, got double life sentence plus, I believe, 40 years for making a website. Mm-hmm. He made a website that allowed people, that kept people safe. It kept people safe because these people never had face-to-face interactions, so you didn't have to be a gang member in a shady alley say he you show some weird sign, he ends up shooting, or you bring a gun to defend yourself, he runs, hears something, and you shoot him. So all those human shady interactions are removed, and there was also raiding available.
Yeah.
Producers and purchasers. So if you buy a bunch of stuff, the person who sold it to you would rate you, okay, this person paid me, they paid me the right amount, blah, blah, blah. And then you could also rate sellers. You could be like, hey, I tested, there's fentanyl, don't buy from this guy. And it actually ended up market mechanics on a black market website. And if we could bring to the white market, you would have even better accountability, even better product, and even overdoses. Most heroin overdoses are not heroin, fentanyl, things. Most heroin users know the heroin. Not that I'm saying it's people should be heroin. It's, you don't recommend it. But if for the people that do use it, if there wasn't fentanyl, most of them would never die from it. Or they may eventually, but it would be really far down the line once they're told. But they wouldn't be over.
Yeah.
And so basically, tie this back to police brutality, drugs impact. This is just one avenue that you can learn about this. This obviously isn't there's many studies, books, articles, videos on this topic, but you can just look at the rap scene in the 80s and 90s to see what the drug war was doing. I mean, that was all of it. I mean, you even have it wasn't made in the 90s, it was much 2010s, somewhere in there. But Reagan by Killer Mike is also about the war on drugs. And they would just, if you showed signs of having money, they would stop and frisk you and check you for drugs, because there's no way that a black man is able to make money unless he's selling drugs. So clearly he's a criminal. And they were just invading everyone's liberties and privacy in a way that most people would find absolutely disgusting. But since it wasn't happening in their neighborhoods, they didn't think it was happening. But it never really stopped. I mean, we just had Breonna Taylor, where there was a no-knock drug warrant, supposed, of a guy. I don't even remember the guy's name, but it was her. It was her boyfriend.
Kenneth Walker, I think.
Yeah, Kenneth Walker, I think.
Yeah, it was her. It was Breonna Taylor's boyfriend, and the cops burst in the door, didn't identify themselves as police. The boyfriend Kenneth shot at the officers and hit one of them, and the officers returned fire. Kenneth made it. He actually got charged for, I forget what the crime was, attempted murder or something, I'm guessing. But luckily, the charges were actually dropped once they realized he was just defending himself. Sadly, Breonna Taylor didn't make it, and she ended up getting shot by the officers asleep in her bed. So the government, suspecting someone owned a substance they wanted to put into their own body, the government said, no, you are not allowed to decide what goes into your body. I will send men into your house with guns to shoot you because you tried to put something in a body that you supposedly own. It's abhorrent, and it goes on all the time, and it's still killing people.
Yeah, it's just crazy what they will do just to have power and whatnot.
Yeah, absolutely disgusting.
Cops as well weren't in uniform. They're all in plain clothes, so like, to the people that were living there, it just looked like some random fiends just fucking breaking in.
Yeah. I mean, how can you charge somebody for protecting themselves and their home from people that look like they're just normal home invaders? And like, and then you charge them with a crime for you know, shooting at them when you didn't even, you know, warn them in the first place.
Luckily, this one time, the guy didn't get charged. Well, they charged him, but they dropped the charges. But there have been other times where people were charged for shooting at officers that invaded their home. I don't know if anyone's been convicted, because there's actually a Supreme Court case. Not that I'm recommending anyone do this, because the government doesn't care about their own laws, and they violate them all the time. They only use them as a bludgeon to attack you, citizens with. But there was a Supreme Court decision that said that during an unlawful arrest or a warrantless raid, you are legally able to do what is necessary in defending yourself, up and including killing the officers attempting the unlawful arrest or warrantless no-knock raid.
Mm. That's based.
Yeah.
Who knows?
That helps a little.
Who knows how that's going to... Who knows how that would hold up in court? Because there's also another law or another Supreme Court decision. There's like five of these in different states that states if you... I'm having a blank. Oh, if any government attempts to turn a right into a license... the citizen doesn't have to get the license, and they can just continue the right and ignore the law. I have a feeling that if you were found possessing weapons in New Jersey without an FID card, like you bought guns or sold guns or possessed guns that the government didn't want you to have, and said that since it's a right, you can't put a license on it, I don't think that would hold up. They would say, eh, we don't think it's a right, so... we're going to lock you in a cage anyway. But if someone wants to try it, they're more than welcome to, but I'm not trying that.
I'll try that tomorrow, actually. Just someone give me some spending money.
I'm broke, dude. I don't...
Oh, shit. Well, I'll just have to find a good lawyer.
I'm just saying, like, if you guys wanted to do that, the easiest places would be Oklahoma or New Hampshire, as far as I know. So if you want to purchase weapons without getting ID'd and then carrying them across multiple state lines, which would be highly illegal.
Legal.
Which
you should not do.
Yeah, do not do anything illegal, because that is bad, and breaking the law is not a virtuous thing. No matter what the law is, if the law says kill your firstborn child, well, gosh darn it, you better do it.
You better get the knife ready.
A fun fact about that. If someone lives in a different state other than Jersey, and they have a concealed carry permit, and they have their gun unloaded in their trunk, locked in a case, and they drive through New Jersey, like, let's say they're going from, like, I don't know, they're going from, like, New York City, driving through Jersey to go to Delaware or something. And if they're pulled over in Jersey, even though they have a permit from another state, the magazine is out of the gun and they're locked in separate containers in your trunk, you'll still get possibly 10 years in prison. That's just nice. to know how fun gun laws are.
Yeah,
I've heard about that.
That's extremely terrible. Disgusting.
So,
they're just I don't really care
about the Constitution because the whole anarchist thing. But if I did care about the Constitution whatsoever, every single gun law is an infringement. So that's some pretty fun info that I think more people need to do some basic reading. There's a little shall not be infringed part down there that I think some people missed. And the only reason I cite the Constitution is I don't even think a government should exist. But if one does exist, I would like them to at least abide by their own rules when it comes to violating which ones of my personal freedoms they decide they're allowed to take.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I would be fine with everything aside from the Constitution, but if you guys kept the Bill of Rights, totally okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, Bill of Rights ain't bad.
Well,
pretty decent.
It's alright.
Yeah.
I prefer the Declaration of Independence because it gives us the right to overthrow tyrannical government.
You're one of those libertarians that my law professor is talking about that said that the Declaration has a higher authority than the Constitution. I mean, I don't think a piece of paper grants rights, but
I don't think either one have any authority. I don't get any authority from the Declaration of Independence or the Constitution, and the government really doesn't either, and they don't even claim it. If you read the, I forget which founding document, but it was either the Constitution or the Declaration of Independence, but one said that the government gets its consent from the governed. I believe it's the Declaration.
It's the Declaration.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But they say that they get their authority from the governed, but I never consented to be governed, so I don't know where they claim the little Lysander Spooner take. I don't know where they got this authority from. I never consented.
Dang.
So I don't think either one has authority. I'm just saying that I think that the Declaration of Independence is a document that supports a little more freedom due to the fact that it grants authority to whoever thinks it's worth anything to abolish a tyrannical government, where the Declaration of Independence, I mean, the Constitution never states that. So that's why I was saying it's superior. It doesn't have, neither one have any authority. They're just pieces of paper. I'm just saying that's why I think the Declaration of Independence is superior, because it says that we should overthrow a bad government. All
right.
Which is
fair
all
enough,
of them.
Fair enough.
They're all bad, so overthrow all of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think another recent example of government not following its own rules was there was a service for George Floyd, and you'd so many people attending. Like, I think Amy Klobuchar was there, like the mayor of Minneapolis or something. Like, so many state officials attending. None of this like social distancing stuff. Like, most common people can't even have funerals for their loved ones, yet there's just completely different rules for these people. Like, they can go and have this massive reception.
Well, they're probably going to fall back on that they never said social distancing would work. It was just that
guideline.
Yeah. It's just a guideline, but guideline that
precautionary.
That you're being thrown in jail up to what, a year or whatever, and fined like $1,000. So, you know, it was just a guideline. But
if you do want to take that. There was this was a quote that was put out. It says, as public health advocates, we do not condemn these gatherings as risky for COVID-19 transmission. This should not be confused with a permissive stance on all gatherings, particularly protests against stay-at-home orders. So if you protest racism and you protest for Black Lives Matter, you're not gonna transmit COVID to anyone, and it's safe. But if you protest against the lockdowns, then the concept and idea that you're protesting magically manifests more COVID-19 to hurt more people.
Yeah, I mean, that's how viruses work. They have selective, you know.
Even COVID says Black Lives Matter.
Yeah. But, you know, over here, We think that all lives matter except for tyrants. So,
yeah. You know, so, in the end, it's just funny how people switch up so easily, especially with how you know, all this COVID stuff. It's kind of funny.
Oh, you mean the conservacucks?
Yeah, definitely, bro.
Yep.
Not only the conservacucks, but the Democrats.
Yeah.
You know, first it was the conservacucks that said, go outside, you know, fight for your rights. And then as soon as this happens, it flip-flops. And now the Democrats are doing that, fight for your rights and whatnot. It's kind of funny.
Yeah, that's a thing about the Democrats I heard recently. I believe it was it Michael Malice? I'm not going to attribute this to him because I don't know for sure, but I was listening to a podcast and someone pointed out an interesting idea that Democrats have always pushed for free speech back in the 60s, 70s, 80s. And once other people had free speech that went against their opinions, they wanted to silence them. So Democrats never really cared about people's rights. They cared about their own rights. But when those rights assisted someone they didn't like, then they backstepped on them. So they just used whatever they needed to get a platform to spread their message, even though they didn't legitimately believe in the freedom for anyone else.
Yeah, they didn't legitimately care.
That sounds like, what's that ideology called? Communism? Gotcha.
Oh, communism.
I think it's closer to fascism.
What's the difference? They all end bullshit up in theory. The same fucking bullshit. Fucking.
Oh no, I think politics is a scam.
Politics is a scam. Mm-hmm. It's the assertion that you have a right to rule someone else, no matter what fucking ideology you believe. Yeah. Except libertarianism. Or anarchism. Both of those.
You know what? I'd be down with a libertarian president for once. It'd be pretty
Dan
chill.
Berman 2020.
I don't know if that's the wave anymore, bud. I don't know if that's the wave.
Yeah. It's my wave.
I mean, Dan's pretty dope, so.
Well, my actual wave is no president 2020.
Yeah. Nobody. Yeah,
I just don't want to make a license to make some toast.
Yeah.
Oh, do you have a license for littering? No, you don't have a license for littering? Hope you have a license for that bag full of rubbish in your truck. Oh, you don't? Alright, 200 quid.
All I want to do is the grill.
All I want to do is drink.
Bro, if you can't grill, are you even, like, actually have liberties or, like, what?
1920 nibbers be like, all I want to do is drink.
Yo, no. Do you need a Johnny? Do you need grilling permits, or do you know if they need them in England?
Unironically, like if you're barbecuing in your own home and you live so rural, probably not. But if you're in the city, you wouldn't know. Like,
damn.
you can get some local council.
Oh my god! Even so, if you have like a grill on your balcony in the city, you could like get in trouble if you don't have a license.
Like, if you're discreet about it, I'd say you'd be fine, but, like...
Nah, I want
to... Like, the police here, the thing is, the police here, like, compared to, like, America, like, the police in America are, like, so authoritarian because they're armed, but police in Ireland literally are just so inept and retarded, like, they just don't care.
Oh, that's my favorite type. Okay, we're all good. Ooh, thank God. Now we can grill in Ireland as well.
Yes.
You know what? I don't care about any other rights. All I want to do is the grill.
The right to grill.
The right to grill.
As long as I have centrist?
I'm a grillist. As long as I can grill.
That's a new one.
Yeah, anarcho-grillism.
What about Hank-Hillism? That's a pretty
definitely
good
one.
I'll just want to use propane.
Propane.
Cool. Bobby, what's this music? Get your gang, get your gang, get your gang, get your gang, get your... It just sounds like toilet noises.
I feel like we've gotten off track somehow.
Yeah,
no.
I mean, I think that's every podcast we've ever...
Yeah, fair
this
enough.
This is our shtick, okay?
But,
realism.
Basically, as a way to wrap back around...
ACAP?
Well, obviously, but a... a solution offered by us, the anarchists, or whatever libertarians are in here. Sorry, I gotta, I'll hold the mic up. But I guess there's a way to go over a possible solution offered by the anarchists or whatever libertarians are in here.
Anarcho-grillitism?
Yeah, any anarcho-grillists, anarcho-capitalists, agorists. I don't think we have any mutualists. We have an Anprim afraid of McDonald's, and then the libertarians and minarchists. All those guys, a solution that most of us can agree on. I'm sure some libertarians are like, but you need the government to do this. Basically, so the argument for reform of ending qualified immunity, ending the war on drugs, allowing criminal lawsuits against police officers from victims, private pensions, like pensions to each individual officer, and that's what they have to pay settlements out of.
Yeah.
There's many solutions being offered, but I think when you have a singular company that has a monopoly on violence, you're going to run into a lot of the same problems, because not only do they have a monopoly on violence, but they have a monopoly on justice. So you end up having one company where, let's say, like a cop, just, we'll use a real life example. Two officers are holding a guy on the ground, and another officer puts a gun to his chest and starts screaming at him. The guy starts crying and screaming back, please don't shoot me, please don't shoot me. And then the officer just unloads a couple rounds into the dude's chest, and he bleeds out on the sidewalk when he was already being restrained. Let's say something like that happens. We're just throwing something out there, you know, just some random idea. But let's say
Castile? Was it?
Yeah.
Yep, we're good now.
Now recording.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, I don't remember with the name, but that kind of shows you how crazy it is that there's so many of these happening that I can give a very specific story, and there's multiple people that fall under it, and it's a brutal story every time. But let's say something like that happens. You go to the government that runs the police and say, hey, this is wrong. The government can basically just say, yeah, so we decided to look into something we did, and we decided we didn't do anything wrong. Okay, everyone, have a good night. And that's insanity. And even if you fix all those other things, there's still going to be some perpetual bias in the court system on behalf of police. Because that's one of the main things, is people are saying, allow us to criminally sue police. Okay, let's say you do criminally sue the police. There's not really, if that bias is still there, which is, it's always going to be there. It's a company is naturally going to want to protect its own. That's just how it works. Unless you're in like an actual free market where if one of your employees does something, you want to get rid of them so you can make your company look better. And you're like, okay, if someone does something wrong here, we get rid of them. But most companies, especially government organizations, don't do that because they really, at the moment, they don't really have much of an incentive to, because if you try to unsubscribe from the government, if you try to unsubscribe from Netflix, you can just start an account with Hulu. If you try to unsubscribe from the government and stop paying their fee, men with guns come to your house and lock you in a cage. So it's not really a free market.
Or resisting going in a cage.
Yeah, or they'll just shoot through your window. But yeah, so basically, when you have
hardcore timeout.
Yeah, it's permanent timeout. But when you have, and it's timeout in a system that you never consented, or even, you never even saw the contract for it, let alone consent to it. So
I don't like public school too.
Oh yeah, public school is pretty much prison, and I think it should be abolished immediately. And it's one of the biggest issues with our society, where surprisingly, if you have a school run by the government, the people that go to that school are going to be reliant on government. It's kind of crazy how that works. But anyway, back to the police thing, you're not going to get justice because that inherent bias is pretty much always going to be there. But the one way you can fix it is through decentralization and alternative parties. So you have multiple security contracting companies, and people are like, anytime you mention a libertarian concept of reducing government, people always say, well, has that ever worked? And then you offer an example, like with the drug thing. They'll say, like, oh, well, has legalizing everything ever worked? Say, yeah. Where? Portugal. Well, America's different.
with a bigger population.
And then you give an American argument. And then you give an American example, like you'd be like, oh well, actually, Prohibition caused many issues, and it caused gangs, and it caused all the issues we see today. And once alcohol was legalized, most of the biggest issues that were created went away. And they'll be like, well, that was like 100 years ago. And they'll always just make random new excuses no matter what argument you give them. So, we have a good one. We got a recent one. It's a recent one in America, in one of our most violent cities in the entire country. Back in 2014, the whole city of Detroit went bankrupt. Leave it to a government to be so inefficient that their job is robbing people and they still find a way to lose money. But anyway, Detroit went bankrupt and they had to lay off a bunch of their police officers, and all the rest were underpaid because they didn't have the funds to maintain them. So the market saw an opening and a bunch of private security contractors started to pop up. I read this article back in like 2018, so all this data is from then, so it's probably even higher now. But at the time, there were 12 companies in Detroit. There were three that were the biggest, that were doing the most, that had the most business, had the most supplies, offered the best service, lowest price, blah, blah, blah. But all of these companies combined protected 60,000 businesses and 200,000 individuals. Individual citizens that contracted with them, and individual neighborhoods and apartment developments that decided to contract with these people. And at the time that this was done, there was not a single death on the side of a private security officer or on the side of someone they were apprehending. Because while police, I just saw the statistic yesterday, but I'm missing it a little bit, but they cops spend, like, out of the whole police academy, they only spend like 8 hours on conflict de-escalation. Whereas private security contractors, that's one of the only things they train in. And another thing that makes private security contractors better than police is private security contractors don't have special rights. They don't have qualified immunity. Their company doesn't have a monopoly on violence. So they can't do anything to you that a normal citizen couldn't also do. So their rights violations are minimal because they're not allowed to do anything. Like, a cop is able to beat you, shoot you. As we saw the other day in one of the riots, a police officer went up to a guy. Well, that's obvious. They do that every day. They just tased a pregnant woman and the cop got off because she wouldn't sign a ticket. She wouldn't sign a ticket, so the cop tased a pregnant woman. But and got off with no charges because that hadn't happened yet, so they didn't have a statute on it. But anyway, so the other thing that they just did the other day is there was a man with a mask on holding his sign. I believe he had both hands on it, so he didn't even have a hand down that he could have hurt anyone with. It's possible he did, and he was pointing it at the person, like pointing a finger at him. But the cop pulled down, like ripped the dude's face mask down, and then sprayed him directly in, like, the nose and mouth area with the pepper spray. Yeah. Like, he ripped the dude's mask off his face so he could pepper spray him more effectively. And this stuff just happens all the time and is just totally accepted. And private security contractors can't do that because they're held to the same criteria of what they're allowed to do as normal civilians. And another thing that this results in, it results is the private security contractor, their main customer is their main person that they serve is their customer, the person that's paying them. So they also really don't use as much force. And then also, since some dude deciding to consume a plant in his own house doesn't affect me, they can't do what cops do in that case. Whereas a cop will say, this guy's doing something, he's consuming something in his own body, in his own house, and I don't like it, so I'm going to kick in his door, shoot his dog, and throw a flash grenade in his baby's crib. And that's just totally fine. Private security contractors can't do that, because they will be charged the same way as if I broke into my neighbor's house, threw a flash grenade in his baby's crib, and shot his dog because he was doing something I didn't like. I would get in a lot of trouble for that. Trespassing, breaking and entering, attempted murder, assault. If I throw tear gas in there, that's also a chemical weapon banned by the Geneva Convention. So throw a war crime on top of that. You'd get charged with a lot. So these private security officers can't do that. And then the last thing.
So they don't enforce drug laws, is what you're telling me.
From what I've read, no. Because they have no authority to.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah, that they couldn't, which is even cooler.
Yeah, so it makes them even better. And then the last two points I would make on why private security contractors are better. One, this is going to suck when we make that three-part police episode, because I pretty much gave out all the information just now. But but basically, this could stand in as the third episode. We could just do a history of policing and dive deeper into the modern problems with it. But two more things with the private security contractors is, to the people that don't know this, you're not going to believe me, so Google it, because there's multiple cases. But it's not the police's job to protect you. Warren versus DC is the most significant case for this, but I also recommend you look up, I don't remember the guy's name, but look up, like, New York City subway stabbing, police not accountable, or something along those lines. But the story was basically that there was a man in a subway train, and a guy just went on a stab fest and stabbed like 20-something people, and he was high out of his mind, and he went into a train car, and two officers stood on the other side of the door, and were like, "What's your name?" They were like, "It's the police, what's your name?" And the guy goes over and says, "I am the police." So they just stand behind the door while this dude has a knife in a subway car. And he looks at a guy and lunges at him and starts cutting him and cutting him and cutting him and attacking him. Luckily, the guy watched a lot of UFC and knew the basics of a double leg takedown and eventually got this dude on the ground and got the knife out of his hand. Once the knife was out of his hand, the cops ran in, detained the guy, and left this other dude bleeding on the subway. And it took some random dude that had a bunch of napkins. This guy called the guy this happened to calls him Napkin Guy, and he just packed all his wounds until an ambulance could come. But the cops did not intervene in this attack to protect the man until they were safe, which, if they were a private security contractor, wouldn't be okay. And then after that, they also didn't even help this guy or didn't even try to help the dude. They just made it so they didn't even have to do their job. This man tried to sue the city. It didn't work. He tried to sue the state. It didn't work. He brought this all the way up to the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court said that if you... He basically said that it's not the duty of the police to protect private citizens. That's not covered in the general welfare doctrine. So it's not their job to protect you. Their only job is to enforce the laws, and most of the laws are either unconstitutional or just straight up wicked and immoral. So their whole job...
I thought it was against the law to stab and murder people, so shouldn't they fucking enforce that if they're going to enforce any fucking law?
Well, as long as they handcuff the dude after he stabs you, that's what they have to do. But they can... They can watch this dude stab you to death, and then once he gets tired, they can go in and handcuff him. Like, that, they will get away with that. It's happened multiple times. There was another house, and this is awesome. One, because the judge who decided it, and two, because of the outcome. There was, I forget the names of these women as well. I really have to go back through these cases again, so I have more information on the front of my mind. But basically, there was a house that two women were in, and a guy broke in, and these women called and were like, "Someone broke into our house, please come here, we need help." The cops got there, went up, knocked on the door, didn't hear anything because they were on the second story and trying to hide, and then went back to their car and left. These men, I believe it was multiple, then tied up these women, raped them, and tortured them, and I don't remember, but they may have killed them.
That was the DC case, wasn't it?
Or was it? I don't think.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that was the DC case.
All right, DC versus Warren. I'll have to look back into the case again. That does sound about right. But basically, when it ended up happening, Ruth Bader Ginsburg was actually the decider on this, who was the like between vote that was like an unsuspected vote, and she said that. Police have no contract between individual citizens to offer security. And that was said by Ruth Bader Ginsburg, the queen of the Democrats. But this is my favorite part. Ruth Bader Ginsburg said, if These women had a contract with private security contractors, and they came and knocked on the door and went back in the car after they were called, they would be charged with negligent homicide. So she straight up admits that cops have no accountability while private security officers are held to accountability. It's right there by one of the most Democrat-y Democrats there's ever been. Has straight up said, police are not there to protect you. Private security officers would be if you had them.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's absolutely sick. Yep. It's almost like people complain about monopolies, that like monopolies in a free market would be really bad, but then we have actual monopolies and it's like, duh. Well, what if we didn't have them? Like, what would happen? Like, everyone would just kill each other. Like, fucking ridiculous. Absolutely.
My favorite thing is that you need trust busters to bust monopolies, and then you tell them that the government is the biggest monopoly, with a monopoly on the literal initiation of violence and the monopoly on justice. And they're like, well, maybe it should be broken up. And it's like, okay, well, guess what? The company that you enforced with being able to break up monopolies has a monopoly on monopolies.
Yeah.
So you're not going
to define what a monopoly is at that. Exactly. That doesn't make any sense.
Exactly. So you're giving a company, you're saying, that's like saying murder is bad, and then saying, okay, we're going to put this murderer in charge of murdering. And if he decides someone is, yeah, a war or cops. But it's basically another war because they have Israeli soldiers and American veterans train our police officers that we are the enemy. So it's pretty rough. I'm not normally the biggest fan of John Oliver. I think that he does some good stuff, but he's a bit like most of them are too like left and authoritarian for my liking. But anyway, John Oliver just did something on police brutality, and he went really in depth and had some really good solutions, and he criticized both sides. He went after Bill Clinton, Joe Biden hard, but he also went after Republicans like Ronald Reagan and Trump a little bit, obviously, as also he should have. But it's really good. It's really two-sided. He really goes after both sides. It's not like recent Saturday Night Live episodes where every single joke is "ha ha, Orange Man dumb" with no other comedy thrown in. Not only do they not go after the Democrats as well as the Republicans, it's just Trump, and then that's the whole show. Like, there will be two non-political sketches, and at the end, Trump will jump up and be like, "I'm sorry, I'm really dumb, I don't know what I'm saying." Like, it's just insanity. But the John Oliver bit was great. He really went after both sides. He really identified the biggest issues, and he identified some great solutions. But yeah, so this was supposed to be more on, I think, the laws that affect these people. I think we covered those pretty well. We got a pretty good issue with policing. Good issues with police, issues with laws, and then solutions. So I think this was a pretty solid episode.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Anyone got anything else to add to it?
No.
Police are stinky.
Police, I agree. Are very stinky. Oh, stinky. One more point. Now that we're saying police are stupid, in 2001, the Supreme Court actually passed a resolution that police departments are allowed to deny employment to police if their IQ is too high.
Yeah.
Wow, like, that sounds like discrimination.
Yeah, it normally would be, but if you're really smart, you're going to question orders to kick in people's doors and shoot their dogs. So you need to have just low enough IQ where you'll do whatever orders you're given like a dog.
Yeah. And it really sucks. Well, you know, in the end, we're all trying to change it. Oh, well, not the
even IQ, the SS we guard things do that.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, we're all doing it. We're all doing it in one way or another.
Going
I think that anything that gets your voice out there, I'll be honest, I don't think while they're entertaining, because you can see people start to struggle to come up with answers to your questions, but while they're entertaining, a lot of social media arguments aren't that productive. You're probably not going to turn a huge amount of people, but in person, have conversations with people. Take times like this to take advantage where there's people that a lot of the people that are rioting and a lot of the people that are protesting, obviously some are like the leaders of BLM who have actual solutions, the organizers that actually have ideas and solutions they want to implement. But a lot of like the standard like protesters and rioters, they don't know what they're mad at. They're mad at the system. They're mad that they're being killed, but they don't know the specific things and they don't have any ideas of a solution. They're just like, it's like when you get so mad in your room that you punch a hole in the wall, that's basically what these people are doing. They're just raging and they haven't like thought through like what's the problem here and how do we fix it? And we've had the solution. We've had the solution since the mid-1800s. I just read Gustave de Molinari's Production of Security, and he points out every single issue with the issue of a monopolized police force and why a privatized solution would be so much better. This dude was talking about this in like the 1850s. He was chilling with Bastiat, who's another great libertarian writer. But these ideas aren't even new. Us libertarians and ANCAPs have had these ideas for, 1870? So that's 250 years? We've been talking about this stuff? 150? All right. Mm-hmm. It's starting to kick in. But anyway, 150 years ago, we've been talking about these, and it's still a problem, and Democrats and Republicans are just now starting to throw out some ideas here and there, and we've had them all along. So there's never been a better time to go out and be like, hey, I understand that you're having problems. We've talked about these problems forever. We've had multiple solutions to offer, and no one listens. And we would love for you to listen. Like, we both want to be heard. Libertarians want to be heard, and then people that are rioting are trying to make noise and get attention because they want to be heard. We both want to be heard, and if we hear each other, we're going to be in a much better place. And get some change.
And to quote July, focus on the racism, ignoring all the statism, or whoever the line goes, but that's a paraphrase of one of backwards songs. Yeah. And,
but, yeah,
I mean,
true.
Again, not to say that racism isn't a problem,
no,
but racism is a problem because of statism.
Yeah, I do believe, as Ron Paul said, racism is just an ugly form of collectivism and we embrace individualism. But aside from that, I've told multiple people about this. I think this would be one of the focuses. This is one of the tangents that we'd go on in the War on Drugs episode, if this doesn't become that. But one of the many issues, if you look at all of the worst racism in America, from slavery to Jim Crow to segregation to mass incarceration to the War on Drugs to the War on Poverty, the worst kinds of racism ever put in by the American government were put in, as I just said, by the government. They weren't passed. It wasn't some dude sitting around. Yeah, there's always been racist people. There always has been, and there's a good chance there always will be a couple. And I was just all I was going to say was that most people really aren't racist. They really don't have an issue with people, and the most racism comes from the government. And those few racists that there have been throughout history, yes, they've definitely done terrible things. Many of them were lynching people. Well, not, I don't know how many of them were lynching people, but a lot of them were lynching people. They were killing people for no reason, like Emmett Till. They've been doing all kinds of terrible things. Racists are definitely a problem. But what I'm saying is that the modern racists, there are definitely lynchings, there are definitely killings that are race motivated, but the general racist of a guy who's says something really mean about a different race or refuses service in his store really aren't causing quite as much damage as the institutionalized racism, such as the war on drugs, war on poverty, redlining, zoning laws, things that are aimed at the minority community. Those have done much more damage than private racism ever will.
Yeah, that's the one thing the private market can't do is be racist. Good. So, did everyone just like cut out?
I don't know. I can hear you, so I think we're good.
I can hear you guys.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. But all right. Heyo.
Heyo. Okay.
I think so. Yeah, Sean's right. Muted. Okay. But basically, and then the last, you don't have to. Some people don't want to phrase this as racism from the get-go. I'm comfortable saying it is, but one of the biggest killer of minorities on the planet, or at least non-whites, because they're not minorities where they're at now, but the biggest killer of non-whites is the American war machine, the military-industrial complex, all the wars that we've been in, all the innocent children that we've blown up, all the innocent men and women that we've bombed to hell in their sleep, all the villages that have been raided and people just shot up for absolutely no reason, or because they moved the wrong way, or because they were trying to defend their land from foreign invaders coming into their land and blowing up their towns and murdering their families. That's possibly the biggest result of racism that we've ever seen. And once again, it's the most brutal, non-metaphorical representation of the manifestation of the state.
Yeah, it's the most dangerous superstition, and basically no person has a higher authority than you. So don't let any jackboot with a badge, or any politician in a suit, or any fucking other guy, just random person, tell you what to do with your life, how to live your life. And if you keep falling for that, then I don't know. That's just the nature of the state. So you want to get rid of racism, get rid of the state. It's that simple.
Shows how I think the state conditions. Just how well the state conditions people to like not associate like this massive institutionalized racism with the actual state. Like, they just view it as completely isolated problems. And they just think like these tiny little reforms are going to do anything, when in reality, like, people are going to forget about this in like 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah. Well, I mean, think of 1984. I mean, they kept focusing their bad society on Eurasia, East Asia, Goldsmith, or whatever the hell his name was, Goldberg, or whatever the hell the guy's name was in the novel, Goldstein, one or the other, and never ever would any of the citizens focus that it was actually their own government rationing or removing language or vaporizing their own citizens, because that was seen as heresy. Or, you know, just totally unspeakable. You know, the government's here for you, always. It'll never do anything to hurt you. It's always these other guys. And, you know, it's the whole conditioning thing, as Johnny brought up, and James brought up earlier in I think it was the corporatist episode about conditioning and the education system and whatnot. So it's all connected, people.
I think that's a pretty solid wrap. Last thing I would throw in is another lie of the American school system is that FDR was a good president. We can have a whole nother episode, we can do a whole episode on FDR. I would love to do that. But the only thing I'm going to mention now on the topic of racism is FDR, that's hailed as a great president, locked American citizens in concentration camps because their ethnicity or ethnic background was Japanese. And he was worried that any Japanese person is a spy, even if they were American citizens that had been here for 2 generations. Just thought I would drop that last note in. Who our school system tells us is a great president.
Yep.
Take us out, Johnny.
I've never done a outro before, but I'll give it my best attempt. Thanks for listening. Yeah, that's it.
Boring. Come on, bro. Give it a little more oomph. You can do it.
Nah, leave it to you, Joey. You're the creative one here.
Not really. Okay. All right. So this has been the Crossroads of Liberty.
Yeah, see, that's the oomph.